Hello and welcome back to Reality Check. This episode is coming out a little late in the week. I'm thinking I'll have another episode early next week in order to get things back on track. I'm sure everyone is familiar with the insidious nature of procrastination, where the longer you put something off, the harder it is to finally get back into it. Procrastination is probably one of my biggest hurdles in life, personally speaking, which is ironic since being an entrepreneur is all about being a self-starter. So I guess I'm playing directly into my weakness, but that's okay. Weaknesses are, you shouldn't avoid them, just got to strengthen them. Okay, so we're back this week with a question. But speaking of which, I believe I have exactly one question left, and then I'm officially out of questions. So at this point, if you've got a question you'd like answered, you'd be helping me out just as much as you'd be helping yourself out if you sent one in. So send them in. No question is stupid. No problem is insignificant. All right, this week's question reads, I have this habit of thinking about an event that happened in my childhood and then twisting it negatively about how I could have done better. I'd like to stop this habit. How can I move past this so I can better my life? This is actually a pretty common tendency among people. I would put it under the general heading of being fixated on the past. And what's interesting about this is that all of us are sort of programmed to do it, but I'll get into that in a bit. This question is dealing specifically with conscious fixation, meaning they sit there and they think about past events, they conjure images from their memory, etc., etc. The first thing to understand about this is that the human mind doesn't like unanswered questions, it doesn't like ambiguity, it doesn't like regret. We're constantly grasping for certainty, and that harkens back to childhood, when everything is uncertain, and you rely on your parents and other adults to provide that foundation of certainty. So fast forward to being a teen or an adult, and you find yourself replaying events from your childhood over and over again. It stands to reason that something in the parent department was probably missing. And if that's the case, there's a good chance that the skills to make sense of ambiguity are also a bit lacking. So the human mind, when faced with regret or uncertainty, and lacking the skills to take a step back and view things objectively, it'll impulsively relive those negative memories in an attempt to fix them. Now, rationally, most of us realize that you can't fix the past. I mean, it's in the past. And to try to do so usually ends up doing more damage in the present. I mean, how many movies and TV shows feature a main character whose fatal flaw is having the ghost of the wife that he couldn't save hanging over him? You know, until finally his friends or the new love interest convinces him to stop living in the past. I mean, we've all seen that trope a million times. The reason it resonates so well is because most of us can relate to having those regretful feelings about something in our past, and we find it very hard to shake them. But rationally, we know that the friends are correct. You can't keep living in the past because it's wasting your present, and it might be hurting your future. So then the question becomes, how do you break free of all of that? Well, the first thing you have to do is realize that the you of the past is not the you of the present. What I mean by that is, whatever mistake you made in the past was committed by a version of yourself that didn't know any better at the time. And even if you knew at the time that this or that action was wrong, you didn't have a full understanding of just how wrong it was, or just what the negative consequences would be, or else you wouldn't have done it. On the other hand, maybe you regret not doing something. Maybe you should have stuck up for yourself when instead you stayed silent, or accepted some form of abuse. But here again, the you of now wasn't the same person as the you of then. You didn't have the courage or self-esteem to make your voice heard. So that's step one, understanding that you've most likely grown since that event in your childhood, and that if it came up again, you would most likely act differently. In fact, if you're going to draw anything from this fixation, that's really the only thing you can draw. That is, if this comes up again, I won't make the same mistake twice. Once you become comfortable that there is really nothing you could have done at that time because you lacked the psychological tools, you have to forgive yourself. And I know that sounds all touchy-feely and cliche. It even sounds silly to me. But I'm not talking about staring into a mirror and making kissy faces at your reflection. I mean that you tell yourself, that was a learning experience. It was a lesson that I learned the hard way, but it made me stronger. If I didn't go through that experience, I might be a weaker person today, you know, someone who lacks the tools that I acquired that day. It's going to take time, and a lot of reminding yourself of that whenever those haunting feelings come back up. If you've been reliving these memories for a long time, chances are that they become a bit of a safety blanket for you. That is something that you retreat into as a form of control, which ties into my previous episode. So check out that episode on control for more insight. But like any coping mechanism habit, you're going to need to consciously and rationally fight against it, and it won't go anywhere until you do. People don't really outgrow coping mechanisms without rational thought and awareness. But this brings up an interesting corollary. In this case, the questioner is literally retreating into thoughts of regret and replaying the memories in an effort to psychically fix what happened. But tons of people do this, not with explicit thoughts, but through their actions. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that the majority of people listening to this podcast have at some point dealt with this issue. And I'll give you an example. A fictitious girl, let's call her Sarah, grows up with a father that is never pleased with her. No matter what she does, it's never enough for him. When Sarah is 15, her father announces that he's leaving, and her parents get a divorce. Sarah is distraught, and she may even correctly identify that her father was a miserable man, that she's better off without him. She grows up a little, and as she enters her 20s, she's confident that she's over that asshole of a father, and she's free to be the person that she wants to be. That's a wonderful sentiment, but here's Sarah's problem. Her love life sucks, and it often borders on abusive, and then ultimately ends when the guy leaves, disgusted with her. She laments that all guys are assholes, and it's impossible to stay thin enough for them, to look pretty enough, to sexually please them enough, etc., etc. She wonders where all the good guys have gone. I mean, this is sounding more familiar now, right? Because of her relationship with her father, Sarah is now reenacting that negative relationship over and over again. She's subconsciously choosing guys exactly like her father. Why would she do this, knowing full well how awful her father was? Because ultimately, it's not about her father, and it's not about the guys she dates. It's about her own mind trying desperately to right the wrongs of her childhood. She's subconsciously trying to find someone just like her dad, recreate the circumstances where she worships a man, and he's hard to impress. But this time, if she just says the right things or does the right things, shows enough love, this time her dad, you know, in the form of this boyfriend, he won't leave. This time he'll realize just how great she is and he'll stay. This time he'll tell her that she's great just the way she is and that she doesn't need to change to please him. Sarah's mind doesn't care that the love would be coming from a guy her own age rather than her own father. She just wants that love to come from somewhere. And she feels that as long as she gets that love somehow, that it'll somehow fix her past. It'll make it all better. Now, that's just one example. There are tons of examples just like it, of people recreating the circumstances of their youth in this subconscious effort to achieve a do-over. In fact, I would say that this do-over coping mechanism is probably one of the main things that eventually prompts people to seek therapy in the first place. It's just that ubiquitous of a problem among people. In the end, the answer is still always the same. The past got you to the present. The mistakes you made, or even the things that people did to you, they were all stepping stones that got you to this point. Without them, you'd be that much weaker and less prepared for future obstacles. Now, admittedly, this is a huge topic that can't possibly be covered in full during a podcast episode, and I've really only mentioned the first few steps. Something as deep-seated as this would almost certainly need to be addressed with ongoing one-on-one help, either a behavioral therapist or someone like myself. If you think you might be reliving past trauma, shoot me a line in private and let me know, and we can talk it through. The contact form listed at the top of the podcast page is probably the best way. All right, well, that's about it for this week. I'm aiming for the next week's episode to be out on Tuesday at the latest. Hold me to it, people. Procrastination be damned. Until then, have a great weekend, everybody.